Welcome back to the Fantasy Hockey Podcast, Friday edition, one of our last here. Now we're in the quarter, well, most of us are in the quarterfinals now, so if that's where you're at, you're probably fighting tooth and nail to try to make it. It's actually been a pretty good week, I think, for fantasy, unless, like, your guy has, I don't know, who's gotten hat tricks? Bjugstad, Laine.
Yeah.
There's one other person I'm forgetting that got a hat trick, but I completely forgot. But anyways, as usual, we're going to review the week, go over everything, give you our week's best players, worst players, and the most important thing, especially for playoffs, is who you should be keeping an eye on this weekend and who you should eye to pick up. I think we have some good suggestions, and honestly, the teams are pretty limited because there's not that many of the playoff days, and if a team plays one day, for playoffs, it's not that big of a deal. Okay, so we're going to start by reviewing the week. Wait, no. First, we're going to tell you about draft real quick, like we always do. So, if you haven't already, I know the season's coming to a close here, but it's still fun. You should download Draft by searching it in your App Store, and if you use the promo code FHP, you get a free $3 entry to a real money draft and a $100 money-back guarantee if you don't like it, which, we're probably sure you'll like it. So that's why we're giving it to you. Anyways, search your app store for Draft or go to draft.com. Okay, now moving on to our main segments. We'll start first with the week's best players. Since I've been talking so much, I think you should kick us off with your week's best players as you pick up the, your favorite guys here.
Sure. I got a couple guys. I could have gone all in on Florida, really. Yandel had a great week, too, but I didn't mention him. And so did Trocheck, but I'll start with Evgeny Dadonov. He crossed 50%.
How good does this feel?
He's got five straight multi-point games. I mean, somebody's finally paying attention, right? And then five straight multi-point games. Then he missed a game. He didn't miss it. He just didn't get any points. And then he had a hat trick. So you should have picked him up forever ago when we mentioned to pick him up.
Yep.
Anyway, you can't now, probably. Dadonov, four games played, three goals, five assists, plus seven. 13 shots on goal, one game-winning goal, one power play point, one hit, and one block.
Ooh.
Yeah. He's never there for the hits and the blocks, no. But everything else is there. Also kind of low on the power play points, but that just is... They just scored a lot on even strength. Plus seven. If you count that stat, I guess. Great.
Don't.
Same line. Yeah, same line. Nick Bjugstad. Four games played, four goals, three assists, plus eight, two PIMs, 17 shots, four hits, and two blocks. So it sure seems like that missing point is from the power play, considering Dadonov got a power play point and Bjugstad doesn't play on the power play line with them. So kind of funny to see that, but obviously that even strength line is really clicking, so nothing to worry about there. And he does play second power play.
Yep.
Next up, Ryan Ellis. I just have to eat my words earlier again because he continues to have a good season, despite me saying I wasn't very high on him and thought he was the third or fourth best. Well, I mean, he still is the third or fourth best defenseman. It's just how deep Nashville is.
How good they are.
Yeah. Four games played, two goals, four assists, plus five, two PIMs, 17 shots, one power play point, three hits, and nine blocks. I guess you could safely say it's third now. He's pretty much established himself above Ekholm at this point.
Yep.
Next up, Ricard Raquel. Four games played, five goals, two assists, plus two, 15 shots, two power play points, five hits, and two blocks. A lot of the Ducks coming through with pretty good weeks this season. Pretty good games this week.
That hurts.
Shorten it up a little bit.
Trade.
Yeah.
I should have traded for him.
You should have. And then last up, another Panther here. Roberto Luongo. Three games played. He picked up two wins with a .947 save percentage and a 1.97 goal against average. One of the best of the week.
We tried to warn you guys about Florida. We told you about Dadonov. We told you about Luongo. Said Bjugstad at the beginning of the week.
We've been talking about Bjugstad since early in the season.
Yeah.
We've been saying the whole season that if he gets an opportunity, he's probably going to be pretty good.
Luongo, I mentioned him as somebody to pick up the week he got injured. And after the week he got injured, I still doubled down and said he was worth stashing. Moving on to my week's best players, Patrick Laine, someone I had called out in unsustainably low, I think. No, what did I called him the week's worst player, something like that, a few weeks ago.
Yep.
Out of nowhere, came out, and he's still only getting 16 minutes a game on average, which is nuts for what he's doing here. Four games played, eight goals, one assist, plus seven, one power play point, 14 shots on goal, three hits, and one block. Moving on to another guy who's just on fire and refuses to stop. Pretty much, he is the reason they even have a shot at the playoffs is Nathan MacKinnon. Four games played, three goals, five assists, a plus two, four power play points, a massive 24 shots on goal, and one block. And lastly here, who I think is clearly the Vezina favorite, and I think we'll actually end up winning it. He wasn't in our, when we did our mid-season recap, he wasn't in our favorites for Vezina. So this is kind of out of nowhere, which is good for him. A lot of people are saying he was washed up. Three games started, 3 wins, 1.67 goals against average, and a .940 save percentage. All belongs to Pekka Rinne, who is now, I think, 14-1-1 in his last 16 starts. It's just, it's nuts. Nashville is 10-0-0. I don't know who's stopping him right now in the West. I don't see any team. Maybe Winnipeg. I think that's the only team that might stop him.
Yeah.
Moving on to the week's worst players, I'll just jump into mine real quick. Someone who we called very streaky earlier when he got traded was Peter Mrazek, and that's kind of living up to it now. He went 3 games straight with a win, and he was looking really good. Now, his 3 games played, a 4.55 goals against average, no wins, and an .841 save percentage. That's really, really ugly. Mind you, the competition in there is hard. I think he played Tampa and Pittsburgh in there, so that's not exactly easy. Then Wayne Simmonds, after coming back from injury, really hasn't done much. I've actually left him on my IR plus slot because I didn't want to activate him. Instead of dropping Konechny or Sedin, I left Simmonds on IR. 2 games played, a -5, 3 shots on goal, and 3 hits out of him. Nothing impressive. And lastly here, Logan Couture, 2 games played, a -2, 5 shots on goal, and 1 block. Now, he's still on the top line, right?
It depends on what you call the top line, but yeah.
Yeah, because that's...
His line has not changed.
Yeah, it has not been pretty for him, considering Evander Kane has come in and just killed it. You'd expect more out of Logan Couture.
Yep, not on his line, but yeah.
Yeah.
I got another shark here. Marc-Edouard Vlasic. Again, I don't know why he's owned so high. He only has 29 points in the season, so... 2 games played, no points, -4, 5 shots, 2 hits, and 7 blocks, and that's all. Next up, Kyle Connor. 4 games played with no points, -2, and 8 shots. So, man, he just, like, he looks good sometimes, and, like, he's just not there other times.
Yeah, his inconsistency is a little scary.
Yep. Next up, David Krejci. 3 games played, no points, 4 shots, 2 hits, and 3 blocks. So Krejci had, like, a little streak there where he was interesting, and he went right back to not being interesting.
Yep.
And then last up here, Frederik Andersen. I think the Leafs have lost 4 straight now.
Something like that.
He played 2 games. He posted up a .796 save percentage and a .676 goal against average, which is terrible.
That's awful. That's very, very
bad. And he split them up among 2 fantasy weeks, so he could have easily lost you both.
Yep, easy. Moving on to weekend pickup suggestions. We'll start with teams with good matchups. Arizona, who plays at Colorado and then versus Vancouver in a back-to-back. And then Boston, who plays versus Chicago and at Chicago in a back-to-back. And Chicago's tired, obviously. And then Calgary, who has easily the best weekend schedule. At Ottawa, who is tired. And then versus the Islanders at home, who have now lost, what, 7 straight?
8.
8 straight. Nice. Mm-hmm. And then Florida versus the Rangers, because the Rangers are actual garbage. And we just saw Florida shut out Montreal 5-0. Minnesota plays at Vancouver and then at Edmonton back-to-back. Edmonton is a little tough, but it still shouldn't be a tough task for Minnesota. Pittsburgh plays at Toronto and versus Dallas. And Dallas obviously does not have Ben Bishop right now, so that should be an easy matchup for them, especially Toronto, who's just letting in so many goals. You take us through the teams with bad matchups.
All right, so we got Buffalo has one, but it's against the Golden Knights, which is not good. Chicago's on the other side of that back-to-back, so they play Boston twice. Then we have Dallas versus Anaheim and then at Pittsburgh. And then we've got the Devils, who are at Nashville, and then lastly here, Toronto at home against Pittsburgh.
Yep.
And then the next section we have is the teams that play both off days, which is pretty important this weekend.
Yep.
There's not a ton of games on Saturday, but 11 is enough that there's a good chance you're going to have to bench people, and Friday and Sunday are super light with 4 games apiece. There's only 3 teams that, unsurprisingly, that avoid the Saturday slate and play 2 games, meaning they play Friday and Sunday, and that's Calgary, who we already mentioned is at Ottawa and then versus the Islanders. And then Dallas, we also didn't mention, but they were discussed with Anaheim's matchups or something. Oh, no, we did discuss them. They have bad matchups because they're versus Anaheim, although Anaheim's tired, and then at Pittsburgh, and Pittsburgh's tired. So the upside is they get to play 2 tired teams while they're rested for both games. And then lastly here, Vancouver plays versus Minnesota and then at Arizona, who will be tired.
Yep, and taking that advice in, the first goalie I'm going to mention here is Anton Khudobin, 29% owned. I think he's got to be the favorite of the weekend.
He's the only goalie you're going to mention.
Yeah, he's the only goalie I'm going to mention. Well, I was thinking about mentioning Tristan Jarry, just because Matt Murray's out, you might need wins. He has two games this weekend, but I actually like Khudobin significantly more just because Chicago's been so bad and Boston obviously looks so good. Now, the only downside to Khudobin is we don't know what day he's playing. If he plays on Saturday, you might run into some goalie overlap, but if he plays Sunday, you're good to go. So that's just something to keep an eye on. Then Mikael Backlund at 29% owned. Monahan is day-to-day, so he might slot into that top center position, but it looks like that last game, Sam Bennett stepped in, who's at 6% owned, so he's the other person who might jump into that top center slot. And whoever that is pretty interesting, considering the teams that the Flames play are just so bad this weekend. That actually is very interesting to me, whoever's playing next to Goudreau.
I saw Bennett coming in for Ferland on the wing, too, so I don't know where they're going to play him. But
yeah, I'd just keep an eye out on that situation if Monahan misses. He was just day-to-day, so he might not miss, but it's just someone to keep an eye on. And then on defense, easily the best option in probably every waiver right now, every wire, is Alexander Edler. Still at only 29% owned. He's the best D option, in my opinion. They don't have terrible matchups this weekend with Minnesota and Arizona, but he's looked good. He gets your peripherals. He's kind of slowed down a little bit in the points section, but he's still top power play, top pairing. So, look, you're not going to get that anywhere else. And sticking with Vancouver, Brandon Leipzig.
I think it's Leipzig.
10% owned, 6 points in 4 games since joining the Canucks. He's also now top line with Horvat and Vertanen. That's the top line. So not bad. They're doing really well. He actually got 20 minutes last game, which was a huge bump from before. He's interesting. He's not listed on the power play right now, but I would not be surprised if he was able to get on the power play. Now, the reason I mentioned him is just because the wire is so thin, and when you're looking at matchups as far as kind of the weekend goes, sometimes you got to go with the hot hand. Now, I know the hot hand isn't actually real, but it's just nice to have a guy who's shooting the puck and putting it in the back of the net.
Confidence does count for something.
Yeah.
For me, my first one is going to be the first time I think I've ever mentioned a player that's not on a power play.
It is.
And it's Riley Nash, 13% owned. He's centering Marchand and Pastrnak with Bergeron out, and he's been great since he's been there. 7 points in 5 games since he took over that top spot. Bergeron has a fractured foot. I don't really see why they'd rush him back before playoffs.
Yep.
Which I'm sure is concerning to people that are holding on to Bergeron. I don't know. I mean, they said they're going to reevaluate him after 2 weeks, but why would you take a guy with a broken foot and put him back in if he doesn't need to be in?
Yep.
So if I were in the situation there, I would hold Bergeron out until playoffs, but whatever. He also played 19 minutes in the last game. This is Riley Nash we're talking about again. And that's a huge step up. Before, he was playing 9 to 10 minutes, and then they moved him to the top line. He was playing 13, 14 minutes, and his ice time is gradually increasing now to, like, a very healthy 19 minutes. Must have PK time involved there for him to be getting that high without being on the power play.
Yep.
So maybe shorthanded is a little bit of an opportunity there as well. I also would not be surprised to see him show up on some sort of power play this weekend with how well he's been playing.
Yep.
So keep an eye on that as well. They may change their power play lines. I don't see why they wouldn't. In fact, I would probably put him in over Danton Heinen, because Heinen is apparently centering their top power play line with Marchand and Pastrnak. And if you trust Riley Nash there, keep him there, in my opinion. But next up, Derek Stepan. Why do I always do that with his name?
I don't know.
I cannot say Stepan correctly.
It's almost like Toffoli.
Yeah, it's almost. 28% owned, Arizona, as you should know by now. He's on a 3-game point streak with a goal and assist in his last outing. He's not a super exciting player or anything. He gets pretty paltry peripherals, but he does get them. He usually doesn't post up any goose eggs. So I think he's a good option because I think he can get a point or two this weekend, especially if you have the room on Saturday. He also has a Sunday matchup against Vancouver, which is not the worst.
Yep.
And then lastly here from Vancouver, we got Bo Horvat, 37% owned, centering the top line. I think he's got Vertanen on his wing now, and maybe, actually, I don't even know who's on his left wing.
It's what's his face? It's Leipzig.
Oh, Leipzig, right, of course. Yeah. I think he's probably the best forward option available, despite the fact that Besser's out. Daniel Cennini is also an option you could consider.
He's been terrible these last 2 games, though.
Yeah, and his minutes have dropped significantly. Yep. Horvat's value obviously takes a bit of a hit with Besser being out, but I don't think he's, like, totally out of the running at this point. And then Yeah, that's it. How about we go into our picks of the night?
So for top overall picks, I'll take Eric Staal first, who's at Vancouver, and then also Ryan Getzlaf at Dallas. And lastly, our time Panarin versus Detroit. All of those are kind of very matchup specific. Vancouver sucks. Dallas does not have a goaltender. I mean, Carter Lettinen's been okay. And then lastly,
he's
Detroit.
Been pretty good, actually,
yeah, but Detroit, I mean, whatever. I like Artemi Panarin a lot. I think Columbus in general looks really good, and they're getting Bobrovsky back tonight, most likely. So that's a really big boost.
So I've got a defenseman first up here, Mark Giordano at Ottawa. He's been amazing lately. He's cheap, so I mean, this is technically a top overall pick, but he's only $5,800. I really take whoever's cheaper between him and Dougie Hamilton. Tonight it's Giordano, and Giordano's been putting up more points. He always ends the season well, so $1,500, pretty good value for him. Next up, Mark Stone versus Calgary. Other side of that matchup, Calgary still doesn't have Mike Smith, I think. Yep. They're playing John Gillies tonight, and Stone is on like a bazillion game point streak. So I like Mark Stone.
Yep.
And then last year, John Gibson at Dallas. I don't necessarily think he's the best goalie matchup, but for his value, he's $7,400, which is $1,000 cheaper than I can't remember who the top one. It's probably Dubnyk or something, or Bobrovsky, one of those guys.
Yeah.
I think he's a much better option as far as the value you get. I think he could definitely get the win there in Dallas, and he's been good all season, so yep. I don't really think he's gonna have a bad game or anything.
Moving into your value picks.
Sure. I've got Anthony Mantha at the Blue Jackets. He didn't do anything in their last game where they got shut out, but before that, he had 2 goals and 2 assists against Boston? I think it was Boston. That was a game where Marchand got 5 points or something, and he got 4 points. I had them both, and I'm not playing anybody because I have a bye week.
Great time for that.
Yeah. I also like Brandon Montour at Dallas, mostly because he's insanely cheap. He's still playing top power play and top pairing, so... He's not the most exciting defenseman or anything, but he's pretty reasonably comparable to like an Edler for daily fantasy, but he's way cheaper tonight.
Yep.
And then lastly here, Corey Perry at Dallas, $5,500. When you look at his line mates in Getzlaf and Raquel, they're closer to $7,000 apiece. And Perry's sitting down here at $5,500. Obviously not having the best season, but he's been good lately. He's a point per game over his last couple of weeks now. So, I think he's a great option for that price.
Yeah, $5,500, it's kind of a steal. Also $5,500 is actually Matt Duchene versus Calgary. I get why he's that low, but it also doesn't make sense because of the goaltending matchup that Ottawa has with Calgary. Ottawa's actually been scoring goals, and Matt Duchene has been a large part of that, so I like that. Zach Werenski versus Detroit is a great option. He's coming off of a 2-point night last night, and like I said, they're getting Bobrovsky back, which obviously allows the defense to be a little bit more offensive. And then lastly, Michael Ferland at Ottawa, just because Ottawa is a heaping pile of garbage, and, well, Michael Ferland's been good. And he's extremely cheap. Extremely
cheap.
Has he been
good? I think he's been garbage lately.
I guess if you look at the season.
No, I mean lately.
Lately, sure he's been okay. He hasn't been fantastic. I think I just like more the...
He got an assist in his last game, but he's only playing 12 minutes.
That's not good.
He also misspells his first name. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, I know he does. That's annoying. Maybe you shouldn't take him just for that reason. Someone who spells a name like that is a goof. Okay, well, there you go. Good luck this weekend. I will probably be on tomorrow, actually, to do a sit-start guide. And other than that, we'll be back on Monday to give you some recap of the weekend and preview the semifinal week. And see who you should pick up, because that's a big one.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Well, thanks for listening.
Yep, thanks for listening.